happening up here, and that you all are just third parties, just hanging out and watching what's going on. Well, we all know that is a lie. We all know very well that when we come and we come to this beautiful place of glory, this place where we come together as a family, that we come and we actively open our hearts, that everything that we receive, all the grace that we receive, all the beauty that we soak in, everything is because we are in the first person. We have come here to be actively engaged and to be fully present to everything that the Lord wants to flood us with, and not just passive observers sitting and watching something happening. We are here, and it is happening in real time with us and for us. And of course, Holy Scripture has to be the same way. If we look at Holy Scripture as if we're in the third person, that we're two millennia away and just watching something that happened two millennia ago and think, well, that is an interesting story, or that does move me, that does inspire me a little bit. Well, that's minimally good in and of itself. But the reality, the joy of Scripture, is that we are invited into the first person, not into the third person. We're invited to be there, to enter into the moment, and that every representation of the act of Calvary that happens on this altar at every Holy Mass, we are there. We are there. We're fully present. We are not passive observers from some distance over time and space, but we have the privilege to be fully present. And Holy Scripture then can move us in the first person, and we can realize that when our Lord speaks to us, particularly in the gospel, that we can live into it. We can be there in the moment. And just as much as it says he's speaking to his disciples, well, who are we then, if not his disciples, speaking to us in the first person and wanting us to hear him, and not only hear him, but to respond to him. And so important this day that we understand that what we've heard in Holy Scripture, there are two potentials. The first potential is that we've heard it. We've heard it so many times. We have heard it so often. You cannot serve God and mammon. And many of us, we've heard it for so long, and especially if we're in the autumn of life, we have heard it forever. And so we know it. We know it like a good friend, like so many verses of Scripture. We know it like a good friend. And yet we have maybe decided years ago that we knew what it said and we knew how it was speaking to us. Well, if that were the case, if Holy Scripture only had one message for us at one point in time, then of course it would grow stale. It would be the reason why we understand that no Holy Mass is ever stale, because each one has newness in and of itself for not only what we bring, but what the Lord wants to bring to us. The same is true in Holy Scripture. And so when the Lord says to us, you cannot serve both God and mammon, have you ever asked yourself, do I even know what mammon is? Have I ever even asked myself, what is that? Or maybe I've decided that it's just money. You know, filthy lucre, money, the things that Scripture talks about. Maybe it's just you can't serve God and money, and that's all there is. Well, if that's all there is, then we run the risk of entering into a real complacency. And it's the same complacency that we potentially could enter into as we heard Paul speaking to the Galatians. Because he laid out this list. He talked about all the if you will, the sins of the flesh, and he laid out this list. And he said, so immorality, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, and we could go through the whole list. And you could get to the end of that list and go, shooey, wow, I'm glad that's not me. I'm so glad that's not me. Well, if we do that, if all of a sudden we get to the end of the list and we declare that that's not me under any circumstances, then what's the risk? We check out. we check out. We talk about being distracted. You know, I got distracted while during the sermon. I got distracted during Mass. Well, it's because we check out, because all of a sudden what's happening, we're not living into it in the first person. And once we've decided that Scripture's not talking to me anymore, then most of the time we're going to go elsewhere. And even though we're here, our mind's going to go elsewhere. And the same is true. We hear that same familiar refrain, you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon, well, I heard a bunch of things in the epistle, and I'm not that, and so I guess I'm serving God just fine. And again, it sounds a little tongue-in-cheek, and this is not me wagging a finger. This is us as family talking about the risk of not understanding mammon, not understanding the way our Lord speaks to us. Because you know our Lord always speaks to us, and one of the greatest gifts that we have in the church that our Lord has given us, is that we have free choice. We are not puppets on a string. We do not just simply do what our Master tells us to do. Our Lord loves us so very much that He gives us free choice. We can choose whatever path we want to take. We can choose a path of profound intimacy with our Lord. We can choose a path that's somewhat distant and distracted, or we can just turn our back altogether. But the choice is ours. Free choice. Some believe they don't have it, but it is the greatest gift that we've been given, and it is given out of love. Our Lord loves us so dearly that He gives us the choice on how to respond to Him. And He doesn't force Himself on us, as any perfect lover would never force Himself upon us. He asks us, choose me, ask me, invite me. And so therefore, when our Lord speaks to us, how many times have you heard that He gives us a choice? And many times He will show us in the balance of things. He'll say, God and mammon. He'll say, light and dark. And He won't talk about 50 shades of gray. He'll talk about this and this. And He'll say, now choose. Which one seems most appealing to you, God or mammon? Well, first of all, then, we better expand our definition of mammon. Because mammon then must be anything that takes away from serving God. And we must then, if we're truly honest with ourselves, if we've ever asked ourselves, what truly is it? We can maybe come to the conclusion that it isn't just licentiousness, idolatry, witchcraft, enmities, contentions, jealousies, as you heard about. But maybe that even in the goodness of our Christian life, maybe in our desire to live out our beautiful Catholic identity, maybe there are these little idols, these little mammons, if you will, that we're still hanging on to, that we still have a death grip on, and we're not going to let them go. We're not going to let them go. And sometimes it's as obvious as sins that we won't let go, but sometimes it's attitudes. Sometimes it is history. And sometimes when you bring a family like this together, we have disparate histories, many of us. Some of us, many of us have come from different walks with Jesus Christ. We have. But we're looking for the same road to walk together, even though we may have come from different places. But sometimes when roads converge, we begin to see as the road converges and we look and we see people coming from different paths and we say, you're not one of us. You came from a different path. You came from someplace else. I don't recognize you. You're not one of us. With that death grip on where I came from was the right place. It was the only place that I could come, that people in their right mind would have come from. And yet there are people, lost people, people seeking what we know, seeking what we have, coming from every different path, every different road, converging on the road that we want to be on. And we don't want to do anything to diverge from that road, which means that when the roads converge and when the masses meet, when those roads converge, then we have to look at each other not as other, but as those seeking one and the same, seeking that, being willing to let go of any mammon that we're hanging on to, whatever it is. Because sometimes mammon isn't some awful, terrible thing like you heard in Galatians. Sometimes it's a perfectly reasonable thing, but it's still an idol. It's still something that we're not willing to let go, because if we were to let go, then all of a sudden some of our security might be lost. You know, a bit of a security blanket that we're just not ready to let go of yet. That's as much mammon as the gross sin that Paul talked about, is hanging on to something that prevents us from entering into greater and greater unity. Why do we bother? You say, well, we're all here. We're fine in our little group here. But do you not see that there are so many others out there on roads that are trying to converge to end up here, and many people who still don't know where it is where they need to land, where they need to be? They need to be with us. They do. They need to be here. They need to hear the truth. They need to hear the love. They need to see the beauty. They need to know the tradition. We know that. Intellectually, we know it. But the question is, are we willing to let go of all of our little personal mammons in order to make sure that we can see in the other the possibility of us rather than being them? Because there are so many souls out there who need to be here. And we say, well, we don't have a big enough parking lot. I'm sorry. I don't care if we have to eventually have 10 masses a day. We know that we need to be here. This is the place where not only we have found ourselves, but so many others. And how many of us have lost souls in our families? Don't raise your hand, because most everybody would raise your hand. There are lost souls everywhere. What are we going to do in order to bring them, invite them, embrace them, and not see them as other? Part of it is in the gospel today. Which master are you going to serve? The mammon that keeps you isolated, the little idols that keep us in our own little cliques? And I'm saying nothing about doing anything that would separate or dilute the truth and the beauty, but all those little things that where we see the possibility of the masses of souls that need to come and join us, be with us. Because, brothers and sisters, where else is there hope in the world today? Name another place that you can think of that is able to exude more beauty, more love, more hope, more goodness, more dignity for humanity than here in the fullness of what we celebrate as Catholics, authentic, true Catholics. And do we not want that for as many souls as are willing to come and join us? I think that is what our Lord puts on our heart today. How do we widen our embrace? How do we make it so that we can open our arms? Well, most of it will happen when we examine ourselves and look at our own little mammons that we are using our hands to clutch so tightly. And we say, nope. We let them go. Then all of a sudden, our arms are free. Our arms to free. And it isn't then us that people see. They see the one whose arms are in that same position. They see the one that we're all here to be with, to see, to have intimate relation with, our Lord Jesus. Let go of anything that keeps you from not serving God in the fullness of how he calls us all to serve. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.